Let's look at some things that haven't changed in education and how structures grow to keep them from changing. One is the subject-centered curriculum, you know, math, science, social studies, English, the arts, and so on. It was formulated in 1893 by the Committee of Ten of the National Education Association, a group made up mostly of college professors and presidents. Most of us experience that curriculum and know how incomplete it is for solving real problems, even ancient problems. For example, how would Hannibal get his elephants over the Alps to invade Rome? That's a math problem, an engineering problem, an animal behavior problem, a meteorological problem, a geology problem, a geography problem, a political problem. The list is almost endless. A modern equivalent might be, how will the Tampa Bay area solve its increasing traffic problems? No single subject is sufficient to deal with that colossal and complex question. So what keeps the subject curriculum in place? Take a few minutes to list all of the things that you think tend to keep this century-old curriculum model in use. Did you think of any of these? Textbooks, a billion-dollar industry devoted to producing materials to teach well-defined and isolated subjects. Testing, another huge industry that tests subjects from the elementary through graduate school. Teacher certification, at the secondary level, all of which is based on single subjects. Accreditation. The process of approving schools and colleges is predicated on subject fields, and site visits are conducted by, you guessed it, subject experts. But are educational paradigm shifts hopeless? No, not at all. In the next presentation, we will look at how innovations can and have disrupted established practices and brought about wholesale change.